Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Afterlife Voicemail System. If you're trying to reach heaven, please press 1. For Yahweh, press 2. For Muhammad, press 3. If you're trying to reach Nirvana, you're going about it all wrong, so we certainly can't help you. If you'd just like to leave a message, wait for the beep.
Hello, welcome to The Collective. This is your host, Magenta, and we have tonight Joey. Say hello, Joey.
Hello.
Hello. I do apologize, everyone. The last couple weeks have been crazy. I've been sick, and I had issues with our internet here, so last night was postponed. So I do apologize to everyone who listens in, usually on Saturday. Well, our guest has not called in yet. We were supposed to be talking to Rune Relic, which is Tom Doyle from Austin, Texas, but he has yet to call in. So until he does, I guess me and Joey will entertain. Oh, looks like he's called in. Let me bring him here. Hello?
Hello. Hello there.
Hello.
AKA
hey.
Rune Relic.
Hello.
Sorry about that. I got a little held up for a second there. My phone was acting all screwy.
That's quite all right. That happens. How are you?
I am all right. I kind of going through a few medical issues, but nothing too serious and dire.
Well, we.
How are you?
Hopefully you get better. I'm getting over being very, very sick, so.
Oh, wow.
I
found out I had gotten shingles, come to find out.
Wow. That's usually rare.
Yeah, I was really surprised myself. I thought it was bug bites.
Congratulations on being 87 years old.
Yeah, seriously. I was really, really shocked. When I went and to the doctor, I was like, there were bug bites, but just something in my gut was like for 4 days was screaming at me, something's not right. And I was kind of blowing off because, you know, I'm a single father raising my son and everything. And next thing I know, I was like, wow, okay, I'm going to have to go to the hospital. So I go to the hospital and they're like, yeah, you have shingles. I'm like, what's that? I had no idea.
Did they say it was brought on by stress? Or...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what they say. Basically, stress, just weakened my immune system that intensely that, it just caused me to break out.
Wow. Yeah. I've known my grandmother had it, and she said it was very painful. I don't know if yours is painful, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. It is. It is.
Sorry
to hear
that.
I have a high pain tolerance, like extremely high. So the doctor was sincerely surprised that I dealt with it for 4 days.
Yeah. Well, I'll be sending you some healing energy your way because I have had it. Like I said, my grandmother had it. It was extremely painful. So
yeah.
We hope you get better with that. Now, we are here to talk about tarot, and you do tarot readings. And I have your Facebook link on our little episode information. So people can click on that and get a hold of you if they want a reading. But I'm going to let Joey's got a couple questions for you. So I'm going to let him take the stage. So Joey,
I'm actually really interested in tarot. I got my first deck earlier this year, and I still have not found the time where it feels right to just, I've opened the box. I've not even, like, opened the cards up. I keep waiting for the time where it feels right to do it. Like, I don't want to I have a lot of, like, anger from my job, so I don't want to come home pissed off, grab it out, be like, let's do it.
Yeah.
So,
of course.
What are your, I forgot what I was going to say there. My brain just died. Like, getting started at, what would you say about that?
Well, getting started, also it depends if you connect with the deck. I mean, how did you get the deck?
I was at a local pagan shop, and it just out of the blue. It's not one of those things where, like, oh, that looks cool, I want it. They had several decks, and I've been looking for years to get one, and I found the one that just felt right.
I mean, what was the purpose? What do you feel is the purpose of getting a deck? I mean, did you just want to just read, you know, cards for yourself, or was it for other people?
I think at first it was more of I want to read for other people, but I have the feeling a lot of the times, like, I want to get it and just read for myself, but I have no idea what to do.
Gotcha. Well, for me, when I first started reading, I actually had a teacher, Aubriana. She had taught me tarot. She also taught me magic when I was really getting my feet underneath me. I'd always been interested in magic and the like. I met her back in 2004. And so I've known her for almost 11 years, about the same length I've known Daily. And what really, for me, though, I always feel trial and error is big to not be afraid of. Because when I did the typical thing, you know, I opened the books, looking through the cards, reading through the book to understand all the meanings and everything for each one. But one of my biggest things is after having, you know, used my cards for so long, is that I feel it's always best to trust your intuition more than anything. Because sometimes you'll look at the card and what it normally means to you, or it normally means by its very definition, may not be what you yourself feel. So one thing I always recommend is that before even using your cards, sleep with them. Put them in your bed, put them under your pillow, whatever you need for at least 3 days. Because I always recommend kind of thinking of your cards as like a medium. And so you want the cards to really resonate with you. And for them to resonate, they need to be around you. They need to, you're not just sitting on a shelf somewhere. You need to actually interact with them, you know. And so therefore, that kind of like almost like marking your territory if you want to go that route. And just really let it resonate with your energy, if you will. And also study basic layouts. I mean, just a simple past, present, and future for people or yourself. And write down your experiences. Was it accurate? Was the definition of the cards itself fitting for you? Did your intuition feel something? Was the feeling something else than what the normal definition for the card was? So on and so forth. That kind of thing. So don't ever be afraid to go to the basics of the basics.
So you would recommend for people who are starting out to maybe do the spread where it's like just three cards, past, future, past, present, future.
Yes, very much so. It's like I said, the simplest. Like now, the layouts that I use can sometimes vary. Depending on what the individual wishes to know. Now, for those who want like an in-depth reading from me, I normally use what we call the Celtic cross format. It's just you can actually look it up on the internet. It's called the Celtic cross format, and it covers a whole wide range variable outcomes, how your home life is, what your hopes and dreams or fears are, and the overall outcome. But for me, I have learned to modify the Celtic cross to what I feel sits best and things like that. Because one thing that most people have to really understand is that through practice, you're going to find that your means of expression of your tarot is always going to change. It's never going to stay the same because that's what magic is. It's always evolving. It's a constant evolution. One format is not the absolute in knowing a certain thing. Sometimes you have to tweak it, if you will, and in order to get the in-depth answer that a person's wanting, that kind of thing.
Joey, do you have another question? Or I don't want to stifle you from asking.
my brain's not working right now. I had something. Okay, yeah. While I was doing a little research online earlier tonight, and I came across something. I'm trying to remember if the right wording was shadow work.
Shadow work, yes.
Could you maybe let us know a little bit about what that is? Because I was trying to read up on it. I guess I couldn't really understand everything about it.
Okay. Well, it depends. There's like so much terminology now out there in magic, and people have their own various definitions and titles, if you will, of the various forms of magic. Shadow work normally is since basically our bodies are consisting. I'm going to go through all the variables of what I know this term can mean, because it can mean a whole wide range. Some shadow work involves actually affecting an individual through their, as the title states, their shadow, using, since it's a reflection of who they are, whatever happens to the reflection happens to them. Also, you can talk about how there's what we would like to call the shadow spectrum, a.k.a. The dark. Basically, people tap into the, what we would call the shadow world, the inverted but yet parallel energies of this world, and actually learn to manipulate them to actually create either through via ceremony or focus of intention. Therefore, you're tapping into shadow, a.k.a. darkness, if you will. It widely varies on the definition. I wish I could give you a more in-depth answer on what you mean shadow working, because, again, in my study of wizardry, there's so much, and sometimes these self-identifications and definitions overlap each other. So it's always good to know the main focus of what that art is and its purpose in order for me to give you like the full on, I know what that is, that kind of thing. So I wish I could give you more.
I've got a question.
I was just saying, you gave me more than I knew, so that's always appreciated.
I'm sorry,
I have
a question
about
the last part.
Oh, sorry.
No, I said you tell me more than I knew, so that's always appreciated.
Okay.
I have a question. I know you have, you do tarot in different settings. You can do
sure.
Personal one-on-ones. You do over the phone. What are some of the ways that people can get a hold of you and actually do a reading with you?
Okay. Well, obviously my Facebook at Rune Relic, my Facebook, or my personal page, which is Tim Doyle, D-O-Y-A-L, Facebook page, or my via my phone. And I'm not too shy, so I can tell everyone my phone number, which is 512-693-1013. And I do over-the-phone interviews, as you said, over-the-phone tarot, and I do in-person. And if a person is wanting something to read later, sometimes they'll ask me to either text them or go via message. So I can basically send them a picture of the layout of the cards that I have for them, and then I will basically give them a whole long description of what I see in the cards. And after I send my description of everything that I'm seeing and all the variables and so on and so forth, they're welcome to ask me any questions that they wish to know more in depth. And I do 15-minute readings, 30, and an hour readings.
When you do readings, is it difficult or is it different to do them, let's say, over the phone versus one-on-one? Is the energy different, or how do you tune into that? Is there a difference when you do that?
I guess it's just, for me, it's not very different, because to me, not to get too philosophical, but magic should just be as easy as breathing. You know, it should be something that you can do anywhere, at any time. It's just basically just focusing that intention, but for me, to answer your question on how I do it, it's basically my energy just kind of reaches out through them, whatever means of communication I have, and just sort of reach out to them and just use that string, if you will, and connect it with my card, so they just kind of just get a feel for them. Sometimes I'll, you know, like use one of their profile pictures, and even if it's not a profile of them, a picture of them, it just reminds me of their profile picture, and so that sometimes that's enough. Or just sometimes just I'll hold the cards over the phone as I'm talking to them, so I can just again just connect, reach out and connect with them, because everything is a bridge. Energy is everywhere. It's constant. It's not so blocked out through space and time like we are. So mm-hmm. It's not that hard for me to connect with them via my mind, because it's not something I have to like sit and call the forces and, you know, and all that jazz. It's just like, I want a reading. Okay. You know, that's basically how it goes. That's how it's supposed to be, you know, because yeah. It makes it feel more real to them. You know, this whole long theatrical chant, nothing that I'm not against chanting or anything like that. It's just something that just, again, I just live and breathe it. Simple as that.
When you, when you do readings, and, you know, just as energy is different, when you do a tarot reading, it's not really, well, I guess I'm asking, is it definite, or do sometimes the cards kind of, you know, are sort of a pointer to a certain question, but not, you know, because things change.
Of course.
Things
like
that.
Oh, yeah, and I've been asked this many times, and what I always say is what I'm showing them is a future, not necessarily the future. It is real, but it's not, and yet it is. What I mean by that is that sometimes, like, have there ever been definites? Absolutely. Like, when I'm not going to go into names or anything, but basically I told an individual that, if they weren't careful, they were going to get pregnant. I told them. And I had various witnesses, because it was a little party, because she really wanted a reading. And sure enough, I got called and saying that I was right. And it's just, you know, again, they didn't think that it was possible, you know, but it happened. But now there are times when, again, it's not so absolute. Basically, it kind of at the proverbial crossroad, to where sometimes simply knowing this or that could happen automatically changes them. Because, I mean, not to go into a long, drawn-out discussion about this, but basically let's consider, let's say a person comes from the future and tells you what's going to happen. Let's say it's you, for instance. But here's the problem. Your future self, coming back to the present self that you are right now, is your future self has no recollection of ever meeting her younger self. And so that automatically changes everything. And so that's where it comes with tarot reading. Tarot reading, in a manner of speaking, is kind of like that proverbial meeting your future self. Sometimes if your future self, quote-unquote, remembers meeting the younger and being, or meeting their young, older self, then therefore it's going to happen, or can happen again if they don't really pay attention. Other times it's like, oh, don't do this. Oh, okay, I won't do it. You know. So it can get very, you know, complicated, and I try to simplify things. That's why I'm very blunt with people. Sometimes to the point of making them uncomfortable. Because there's sometimes a truth that they need to hear, you know, is what they need to hear.
Yeah, and when you know, your readings, do usually people, I know, I'm sure they want to know about their future, but do you hate having to break someone, when they ask about things about like love or relationships?
Oh, yeah, I've had to. I had the unfortunate position to inform the person that it was time for them to move on from their relationships, that, you know, that they were riding a dead horse, and that the person that they were with was no longer interested, or they were already in that divergence, they were, you know, splitting up, or there was some
you know, unfaithfulness going on, things like that. And, you know, at first they deny it. At first they think, oh, no, nothing's going to, this is not happening, that's not happening. And then, you know, coming to find out, unfortunately, that I was right. And I sincerely hate being right. I really do. But again, it's what they're coming to me for, and I'm just, you know, telling them not what they want to hear. I'm there to tell them what they need to hear, because obviously that's why they're coming to me. This isn't some little ooh, oogie spooky, I'm gonna see how this is like, you know, kind of thing. I'm like, I'm gonna tell you.
Yeah. I do a lot of. I don't have my own deck. I use New Age or FastAid.com. I do it online and for myself.
Yeah.
And it's so weird because the past like year and a half, 2 years, I do, you know, the reading and it's the same card every time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's very freaky because I do the, you know, where it, you know, generates by itself. And one of the cards that always comes up, and this is a question that I have, is the death card. So
okay.
I know there's, you know, it seems worse than it is usually with the death card, but why is that always, you know, is it about transformation and change? Or, you know, why would it always come up like straight year of readings?
Okay, well, I mean, is it just a card that just, like, you know, like, just comes up in all of your layouts, or is it just...
Yes.
Okay.
It does.
And in the layout, I mean, is it just representing change in your past, present, future? Or
does
it just come up?
Well, it shuffles around.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
If I do, you know, one reading... it might be, if I do like a simple three card reading, it might be past, but then 6 months later, I'll do another reading and it'll show up as present or future. So I'm just, it just seems like the death card follows me around, and I know it might be that I just have something that I need to let go, but it's just kind of weird to have a card follow you. So
yeah, of course, of course. Well, and it's funny you should mention that, because whenever I do my absolute in-depth readings, I have three decks that I use, my Necronomicon, my Say, and my Soth deck. Now, I'll use all three in three separate readings. Now, if there is a consistent card that comes up in all three readings that really stick out to me, i.e. like the Empress or... as you said, the death card or the tower, things like that. Those are the cards I really, really pay attention to. Now that you're mentioning, now normally if I was to give you a reading and I'm seeing that the death card is coming up, I would say that you have a tendency to fight change way too much. Like what I mean by that is that you have a hard time letting go and being free-flowing, because sometimes like, you will have a tendency to try and, as I like to call it, swim upstream. And yet, powers that be are trying to guide you, and even yourself know you need to let something go, but you're like, no, I need to hold on to this, or I need to hold on to that, because it'll disappear if I let it go, that kind of thing. And so that's what I'm sensing. If that's the case, if I was to read you and I'm seeing the death card come up in all three, I'd say quit being a control freak. You know, but yeah, because from what I'm sensing, it's more on the lines of you're trying to you have like this, not to paint you in a bad light or anything, but basically like this, like you want to have dominance. Like you have a hard time trusting people and letting go and having faith in others because you've been disappointed so much. Therefore, if something fails in you and you're the cause, then you know it was you.
Mm-hmm.
It's because something happened. But if you put your trust in others and something, a force outside of them affects so they can't keep their promise or whatever, you won't be, you're devastated, you're disappointed, you kind of get mad at yourself, or someone else can, you know, you can let your guard down around, if you will.
That's 100% me. I don't at all.
I went a little intuitive there for a minute.
Yeah. But wow, you're
my
good.
Biggest thing is, well, my biggest thing is to sort of make my readings more authentic is I stress to people, don't tell me anything. Like sometimes I've given readings to people, I don't know their names, I don't know how old they are, their sexual preference, their beliefs, nothing. Because I don't want anything to, as I like to call it, taint the reading to where my ego and my expectation gets involved. And as I just did with you, whenever I do face-to-face readings, I look away from the individual. So I'm not looking for reactions or I'm not doing that cold reading, as they call it. I'm not trying to, I'm just telling them what I sense. And if for some odd reason I'm wrong, and I'm open, I'm always open to being wrong. Because I will always ask my client to be perfectly honest with me if I was I hitting the nail on the head or was I off? And I've rarely ever been told I was wrong.
Yeah, Paige, and I was lost. But no, you impressed me very much with just that section of reading because, I mean, we don't know each other other than talking over the phone. So we've never met in person, and you don't know who I am or, you know, been around me enough to know my personality. So that was awesome. So I think I'm going to have to scrape up some money and let you have your way with me with the cards because I'm curious. Because, you know, doing your own readings is a lot different because I'm always second-guessing my readings.
Yes. And,
you know what I mean?
That's yeah, of course. And now I know what you're going to ask next if I ever read myself. And the honest answer is very, very rarely will I ever read myself because sometimes if I'm just kind of able to get into that, I guess you can say, less ego state, I'm willing to be honest with myself and use my kind of turn my intuition inward. Because one thing I have learned is easier to judge than be judged. And so judging yourself is hard because there are times, and this is why I try to be as empathetic and look at both sides of the equation as best as possible. So when I'm going through something emotionally or, you know, financially dire, I can't read the cards because I want the cards to say, yes, everything's going to work out, everything's going to be great, you know, that kind of thing. And and this is how you're going to do it, blah, blah, blah. So it's all, I always strongly recommend to just have someone else do it, someone from the outside do it. Don't tell them anything about yourself. And it will just, like I said, just test their authenticity of if they're being legit, if they know they're how to read and that kind of thing. So was I right about you asking if I was going to read myself?
Yeah. that was my next question. Do you let people, I know we only got like a minute or so, but do you let anyone touch your cards or do you not allow that?
Absolutely. No. I have, because I want the cards, and we can go a little past if you're up for that. To give you kind of a rundown, basically, whenever I do the reading, I hold my Necronomicon deck, I hold it up, and I have them place their palm on the very top of the deck. And again, this is just to kind of get a sample of their energy, and then I shuffle the deck to kind of let the cards get a feel of them. With my Fae, I shuffle it and I break it down to three stacks, and they're welcome to restack it however they please. And the same goes with my Thoth deck. So that way, again, it just really gets a feeling of these people, and again, it just makes it personal for them. And then after every reading, I just kind of just, energetically speaking, just kind of cleanse the cards. I'll either have an incense burning and just let the smoke, sage smoke, just kind of just wash away their energy and just, you know, cleanse the cards, if you will. That way each reading is authentic to that person.
Yeah, that's kind of neat because the people that I've always known to do tarot are like, no one touches the deck and, you know,
no,
they have
no,
it
no,
in
no, no,
their
no.
little little satchel and, you know, heaven forbid you touch it, because then you're going to mess with the energies. And I always thought that was kind of weird.
I always kind of thought that was a little corny. And I understand everyone has their way. But the thing is, I don't see cars like this holy relic. I just see it as a conduit. And it's just for that conduit to work, sometimes you need that physical contact, you know, with the cards, and that person gonna, just like I said, inject their energy into the cards, so the cards can read them and as in depth as possible and stuff like that. So, but I've always done that. That's why I became the court wizard. So.
Yeah, and do you have any updates or any kind of celebrations that are going to be going on?
I'm glad you asked that. We are having the blood drive here in Austin, Texas. It is a blood donation on the 23rd of July, and very much looking forward. It's going to be an open house, so basically anyone who wants to come, ask us and any member of the VCA any questions, you know, we'll definitely answer. And we will also be doing blood donations, which to the Austin Blood Bank here, and they're bringing a little mobile truck we're having out up front.
Awesome.
And we're also having we actually finally have the theme for the Vampire Ball, which will be a magical theme. So basically, people will be coming dressed as regal mythological characters, or just be themselves in some of our cases. And and we're very, very looking forward to that. And we've already have so many people already so excited for our annual ball coming up, which we are so excited. And also we have our weekly Fantasia, which I just recently just actually stepped out from. And that the Red Eye Fly in downtown Austin, we're actually celebrating what we like to call it. We're calling it Gay-tasia, thanks to the wonderful fact that now gay marriage is legal, which we in the VCA are ecstatic about. Literally all of our members are so glad, and we were so excited. We celebrated. Actually, we all went downtown, a few of us did, not all of us, but went down to celebrate this monumental change, which was absolutely ecstatic, because we have members who are gay and whom we love to death, and we think it's just wonderful news for them, so that way they can marry their partners.
I know I saw on Facebook the day it passed where Logan was going down, and he said all the gay bars had super long lines, so he had to go somewhere else.
I think so. I mean, I know it was really busy in downtown Austin the day that it passed, and it was just absolutely pandemonium from all the pictures I saw. It was just absolutely crazy. It was, and to kind of step into the spiritual spectrum of everything, I could just really feel intuitively, and this is before I even knew that this had passed. This I could really feel this collective like relief. And then when I logged on to Facebook the first thing in the morning, I almost seemed this like game. I'm like, I thought it was a prank, honestly. I thought someone was pulling my leg, is how long we've been living with this. And so I was just ecstatic. I was beyond words happy for a lot of my friends that they had partners that they've wanted to marry, and now they finally can. I was so excited for them.
Yeah, it's truly really a remarkable moment in history. our generation has had a couple that, you know, definitely this is, I have some gay friends up in Ohio and things of that sort. And like I said, the chance for them to have marriage, which is, you know, it's just awesome. So,
most definitely.
I woke up and went to Facebook, and there was rainbows. Rainbows everywhere.
Yeah, I was very, very excited for a few of my friends who were already, like, messaging me and planning their ceremonies and stuff like that, asking me to not only be there, but to actually get licensed to where I can actually make their marriage legal and, you know, and stuff like that.
Awesome.
And so, oh, you're the court wizard, do it, you know, that kind of thing. And
I'd just like to say that with Texas's leaders doing their damnedest to try and circumvent the Supreme Court by some way, which they will never be able to do.
Yeah.
I just found out earlier today that Puerto Rico amended their laws to where it's legal out there too. So, you know, if you don't want to do it in Texas, go to Puerto Rico and do it there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, people are finding
just
ways.
Just do it in Texas.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
We're not as horrible, you know, as everyone thinks we are. When people think about Texas, they think, like, you know, everyone is, you know, wrapped in a Confederate flag and has
yeah.
a shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
We're more liberal than that in most
I
places,
agree.
You know.
I,
so come to Texas
you know,
and get married. We're good.
One of the unfortunate things I read about was some counties in Alabama, which it's Alabama, of course, have
mm-hmm.
just stopped having weddings, stop issuing marriage certificates or licenses to anyone straight or gay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I expect that from Alabama. That's the one southern state besides Louisiana I've not been to, and I don't really have an urge to go to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah,
you know.
It's very unfortunate, and I'm very certain people, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And mm-hmm. and obviously, there's when, because of, like, if you came 10 years ago and went back 10 years ago in said, hey, gay marriage will become legal, you'll be laughed at. So, I mean,
yep.
some people are just stubbornly behind the times, but change is inevitable, and that's why, for instance, magic is always constantly changing. It's evolving. It comes in many shapes and forms. So I feel in this case with the state of Alabama that change is inevitable. They're just no offense, Ashley, but you're going against the stream. And, you know, sometimes I just got to learn to let go.
Why would you connect me to Alabama?
Because you're that stubborn.
Oh, I'm as stubborn as Alabama. Oh, that's shameful.
It's true. It's true.
See, how would I know that? I don't know that, but... but... but, yeah, no, I really do feel that, you know, Alabama will catch up. And I've known that southern state. I have a few of my friends who live there, and they hated it, you know, because of how behind the times it is. But they will, they'll catch up. It's going to happen one way or the other.
I look forward.
There are good
well,
people in the world.
We have a president who is gay, a vampire, and a Satanist. That would be awesome.
well, with that. I think we should wrap it up before it kicks us off, because
okay.
it will after a
okay.
certain point. But we
no
do
worries.
Thank you once again, Tim, for coming on.
My
and,
absolute pleasure.
You know, once again, your Facebook is on our webpage of the episode information. They can click that. They can get a hold of you. They can listen to this and write down your number and start texting you and stalking you as well. If they like,
that's fine.
but yeah, so people, I implore you to get a reading from him and then let us know how it goes. And
of course,
once again,
most definitely.
Tim, thank you so much for coming on.
My absolute pleasure, my pleasure. And if anyone has any questions about even outside of tarot, like about the VCA and stuff like that, they are more than welcome to ask, and I will be happy to answer. And so I will leave you all with that. And as I always love to say, Semper Fidelis et Benedictus, which is Latin for always faithful and blessed be.
All right, thank you, and good night, the collective. We'll see you soon.